It's time for Gen Con.
Indie Nation listeners, you are about to hear more information from Gen Con 2014.
All right, Indie Nation listeners, I am at the 2014 Gen Con. I'm here in the exhibit hall. I'm over in the artist spotlight area, and I'm here with Dan the Bard, right?
That's right.
And you do, like, all kinds of, well, Dungeons & Dragons music even?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, I'm an old dungeon master. You're after my heart, let me tell you.
Fantastic.
What is this instrument you're holding in your hand?
This instrument's a very special instrument. This is Lutara, and she is based off of a 19th century German Lauten guitar that I use a medieval open fifth tuning and modern steel strings. So it's really good for playing conventions and Renaissance fairs and being outdoors. I do play the Renaissance lute as well. It has 15 strings, movable frets, and a bent neck, but it doesn't play the carpeted convention center so well, so I use this.
And what's the tuning on this again?
I have it tuned to C, G, C, G, D, G.
Modal?
Yeah, it's very modal, so I play lots of different melodies from the Middle Ages and the Renaissance, and I set D&D lyrics to Middle Ages music and Renaissance music and Celtic music and original tunes.
And how long have you been doing this?
How long have I been doing this? Since about 2009 is when my first D&D CD came out, Manticores and Owlbears. But I've been performing as a musician with folk and Celtic music and Renaissance music since 1995.
Okay, what got you into folk and Celtic? What's your inspirations, influences? You know, it's not real easy. One of the compliments I get is I do play Celtic music.
Yeah.
Mark Gunn.
Oh, yeah.
And some of the more modern offshoots like Barry McCabe, Keely Moss.
Mm-hmm, okay.
You know, and I get a lot of, you know, because people say, I can never find it.
Yeah.
So what got you into this beautiful but, you know, not huge niche?
Let's see. Here's the shortest version from the beginning. I grew up in suburbia with no musical influence of any kind except for being a band kid. I played trumpet in the school band. I went to college and an Irish folk band came touring through. I thought that was the coolest stuff I ever heard. And we started an Irish band in college. Then I joined the Renaissance Fair in the Bristol Renaissance Fair in Wisconsin. Learned folk music from all of them. Came back, finally finished school, and started Irish bands here and there and just had a blast. Started doing Renaissance music here and there, having a blast doing that. And really, the two are combined at Renaissance Fairs. So my love of folk music came starting in college, pretty much. I just got exposed to it.
And now this has grown into how many CDs?
I have 8 recordings.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, before I forget, I do once in a while, this is going to go out on the internet. Obviously, it's pretty important. Where can they find you on the internet?
www.danthebard.com.
One of the other things I always like to ask musicians, any creative person, right now, there's going to be somebody downloading this, listening to it, aspiring to do just what you're doing. Advice or suggestions for such individuals?
Well, if you're a songsmith, if you're interested in writing songs, just start writing. Don't be afraid that maybe a song doesn't turn out great. I've written a ton of songs that aren't good, and I just kind of put them on the creative compost pile and use them later. Listen to other artists, figure out what they're doing. But above all, learn a lot of music. Learn a lot of music that's already been written. Don't try to start from scratch if you haven't learned. You know, you should know a couple hundred songs before you write your first song. And you kind of know the ins and outs and how the songs should be shaped and that type of thing.
And a question I like to ask musicians, I call it the new media order. We've got this file sharing, we've got the Creative Commons, we've got this music on demand type of thing going. You have some people like the recording industry feel it's going to be the death of the music industry, kind of like the 8-track was going to be in the 70s, or the player piano was to the sheet music back in the day. What's your take on it? Is it a good thing for you? Is it a mixed bag for you? Do you like it, dislike it?
It works for me. I mean, I think it's going to continue to evolve from here. There's going to be new ways to do it. You know, there are certain artists that are approaching it completely differently. Like there's a singer-songwriter, Jonathan Colton, he gives away his music for free on his website and has so many fans that he gets paid to do concerts, and that's how he generates income. Other people are putting, or I think Jonathan Coulton, they're putting them on chips and everything, so you save money on the product. I'm excited that the music just gets out there. There's billions of people on the planet. There's enough space and room for everybody to chip in eventually.
I'm going to add to the Jonathan Coulton thing. Yeah. When he came through to the Beachland with Paul and Storm, it's a club I regularly record artists at. I got permission to record their stuff. Got to meet John, to meet Paul and Storm. And his merchandise people didn't show.
Oh, interesting.
So the sound guys know me at the Beachland. They watched the recording. I got a beautiful recording. I helped him out with his merch table.
Yeah.
You would not believe how much the fans spend because he's gotten them to the show. They drop hundreds on the merch. And yeah, you're right. He started the $50 thumb drive thing.
Yes, that was it. Yeah, Luke Ski is doing that now.
He's another artist I play.
He's great.
I just think you guys that share your music. Frankly, I couldn't do what I do if you didn't do it that way.
Yeah.
Internet streaming, if I don't go get permission, it's 7 cents per listener per song.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I tried to contact Sound Exchange.
Yeah.
Because I came from college radio. Mm-hmm. Tried to contact Sound Exchange. They wouldn't even return my calls.
Yeah.
So I ended up being the only indie guy at a commercial station when it first launched, and that station collapsed. And I said, you know what? I can do all indie.
Yeah.
And it's great. And the thing I personally love most is the interaction I get between you and the fans. I get to be the middleman. But even that's disappearing with social networking and media.
Yeah.
One more time, I want the listeners to know where to find you online.
DanTheBard.com. I also have Facebook.com/DanTheBard.
And how many Gen Cons have you done, by the way?
I think this is my fifth or sixth now.
It's an awesome event. This is my first one.
Super Bowl. This is my whole year builds up to this.
I'm overwhelmed, I got to admit. Is there anything you think I should have asked you? Maybe I forgot. Anything you'd like to add?
Music on iTunes and CDBaby.com. I have a performing schedule. I'm doing the Bristol Renaissance Fair until Labor Day, and I've got shows at smaller cons all around the Chicago area throughout the whole year. So look me up on my website. I eventually get the schedule up there, and come see me.
Thank you very much for your time, sir.
Thank you.
Really pleased.
Thank you.
Indie Nation listeners, you just heard one of a series of interviews and concerts from Gen Con 2014. To find more of these interviews and concerts, check out the category Gen Con 2014 on our IndieNation.fm website. Thank you to those who supported us through Kickstarter, and we're already looking forward to 2015. See you there.